Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Everybody struggles with sin. And this is all about getting victory over personal sin. I know who I'm preaching to. I know where you live. And I don't mean physically. I know where you're at spiritually. Because I know where I live. And I know what I'm made of. And I know the things that I struggle with in my life. And it's amazing to me how I have to keep struggling with the same things that I think I've gotten a victory over, over and over again. And if you'll have a heart for God, you will say, right along with the Apostle Paul, in looking at your own life, there's no room for pride. You will say, oh, wretched man that I am. You will understand, I need help from God. This preacher needs help. Those preachers need help. And you need help from God. As a child of God, this isn't about losing one's salvation. What we read about in 2 Samuel in chapter 11 is not about David losing his salvation. As a child of God, you don't become unborn. It was Jesus that said, all that cometh to me, the Father giveth to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. David was still a child of God after this sin. I am my father's son and my mother's son, no matter what I do in life. My sons and daughters are my sons and daughters, no matter what they choose to do in life. They could end up being a serial killer, and they're still going to be my son or my daughter. That doesn't change. Excuse me, would you get some water real quick, Caleb? And run, all right? My sons or daughters could legally change their last name, but you do a blood test, and you'll find out they're still my son and my daughter, no matter what they do. That's true in the family of God as well. You get born into the family of God, you belong to God. Jesus said, I'll not cast you away no matter what. So we're not talking about David losing his salvation, but David does lose. Because of this sin, he loses his standing, he loses his leadership, he loses his family, he loses the joy of the Lord, he loses his fellowship with God. There's a great cost to sin, a great price to sin. And if we look at 2 Samuel in chapter 11, let's just look at the first few verses, and we'll see that David looked, he lusted, he lingered, and then he lost. And that's not my outline. This is just introduction, but it's important you see it here this morning. Thank you. You're not the serial killer in my family, are you? Is it good water? No problem? You drink it first. Okay, verse 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, David was in the wrong place. David should have been leading the troops. That was the custom of Israel. The king led in battle. That's different than today, isn't it? But they were right up front. They were leading in battle. King David had done it many times before. David was a man of war. It says, the time of year when kings go forth to battle, David sent, he didn't go himself, sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. David was where he should not have been. We set ourselves up for sin time and time again. Verse 2, and it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house, and they had flat roofs in their homes that day. And then the palace was the same way, because in the cool of the evening, they'd get up there in the breezes. It was just a wonderful place to spend some time, kind of like the equivalent of the old front porch here in America. It says, he walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. He lusted. And David sent and inquired after the woman and said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And he lingered. You've got to be careful. You know, temptation is not a sin. Yielding to temptation is a sin. One old preacher said, you know, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep the birds from making a nest in your hair. And that's the difference between looking and lingering. Looking and lusting. And that's exactly, being tempted to do wrong, that's not sin. We're all sons of Adam and we're tempted to do wrong. Jesus was tempted. Jesus never sinned. He never lingered. He never played with it. He never played mind games. He never looked. All right. So David sent and inquired of the woman and said, and one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers to and took her. He committed the sin. And she came in unto him and he lay with her. This is so foreign to David. This is so wrong. David's a man after God's own heart. David is the man that God anointed king over the greatest nation on earth. And it was at its zenith. Military, nobody could compare to Israel. As far as wealth, no one compared to Israel. They were the apple of God's eye. God had placed in their leadership over the nation the man that was a man after God's own heart. And now David is partaking in sin. And we're all capable. And it's important you remember that. It's important you don't get the attitude that I'll never do that. As let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall, the scripture says. It says in verse 5, and the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I'm with child. The sin has consequences. David continues to dig deeper, and Pastor Josh already read the scripture. David sends for Uriah. Uriah is one of his trusted, mighty men. And Uriah comes back and David says, how's the battle going? It was all a front. He was trying to cover his sin. If you continue to try to cover your sin, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. If you refuse to repent of your sin and call the sin what it is, you'll not know the blessings of God. Here's the man after God's own heart. He's trying to cover for his sin. Uriah, how's the battle going? Uriah gives him a little bit of report. He says, that's good, Uriah. Why don't you go and spend the night with your wife? And he doesn't. He sleeps out in front of the steps. David tries to set him up, tries to cover a couple of different times. Uriah refuses. He says, how can I go home to my home and be with my wife when the troops are in the field sleeping under the stars tonight? He was a real leader. God give us more Uriahs, men of great character. David, too, was a man of great character, but here's the point. We're all capable of sin. And that's where David was. And David was guilty. Every Christian sins. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and have not the truth within us. As a child of God, if you're someone that thinks you've arrived, now you might think this doesn't have to be preached a whole lot, but it does. Because a lot of people will admit with words they have no sin, but they're never wrong. Oh yeah, we all have sin. All of us have sin. We're all children of Adam. Amen to that, brother. But they're never wrong. Whenever there's a confrontation, whenever something goes wrong, it's never them. That's a mindset that is wrong that God cannot bless. And David was trying to cover his sin over and over again, trying to make it right. And of course, all he was doing was digging deeper and deeper and deeper. The blood of Jesus Christ has saved me from the penalty of sin. Because I am born again, I'm not going to hell. I've been saved from the penalty of sin. But as long as I'm on this earth, and I do not have my resurrected body, and I do not, it might look like a glorious body to you, but it's not. I'm not there yet, right? It ain't going to happen until I get home to heaven. Because I don't have my resurrected body yet, I am still in this world, and I am not yet. It's promised to happen. But I'm not yet saved from the presence of sin. It's all around me. I got it in me. Even though I'm a child of God and I've been saved, born again, I'm saved from the penalty of sin. I'm not going to hell. I'm not yet saved from the presence of sin. That will happen. But here's the third point. It's a little sub-point. I am saved today from the power of sin. Sin has no more dominion over you, Paul said in Romans in chapter 6. So I don't have to give in to any sin. Every Christian sins, and every Christian can overcome sin. Let's go to Luke in chapter 4. Luke in chapter 4. Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. I'll read a few verses here. I'm going to draw some Bible conclusions from the verses that I read. I'm going to give you a remedy for the third point on how you can overcome the sin that is in your life. How many have sin in your life? Raise your hand. Every hand better go up. We got it. It's all around us. And if you've got it conquered this morning, you're still going to have to deal with it this afternoon. And then you have to deal with it Monday. So don't pick up your feet and coast. You can't do that. It's a battle that we're in. You need to understand that. And I want to give you hope. You do not have to be defeated. Listen to me. You don't have to be defeated because of smoking. You don't have to be defeated because of cussing. You don't have to be defeated because of anger. You don't have to be defeated because of bitterness, pornography, adultery. You don't have to be defeated because of selfishness. You don't have to be defeated because of gossip. Those are all sins of the flesh, every single one of them. And we have been given an answer to how to overcome that sin. I trust that this morning, this message will be very helpful to you. When I get to the end, it's going to make some sense to you. You'll understand. The weakest child of God has all of the power and authority of heaven because they have Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. That's really good stuff. I don't know if I ever read that anywhere. This might be a Tim Rader original. I'm not sure. So I want to say it again so I'll remember it. The weakest child of God has all of the power of heaven and all of the authority of heaven because we have Jesus Christ. You don't have to give in to any sin. Man, when temptation comes your way, you don't have to sin. Don't give me that, oh, my flesh is weak kind of thing. No. That's an excuse. You've got Jesus. In Luke, in chapter 4, we read of the temptation of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus was tempted, and yet without sin, the scripture says. He did no sin. This was a battle. We think of Calvary being a battle, and it was. This was a battle. Man, this amazing event that we read of, a confrontation between the devil and the Savior, Jesus Christ. Between Diabolos, the evil one, the prince of darkness, and the prince of light. One-on-one. A mano a mano. Is that Spanish? Is that good? Is that good up there? Man on man. Okay, all right, got it. All right, verse 1. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Then one to one-time temptation. 40 days, blow after blow, blow after blow. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command the stone that it be made bread. And of course, he was hungry. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, listen to what's said here, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. There's a real spiritual battle going on. In a moment of time, the devil shows him everything he has. Just, says, this can be yours. Read the next verse. The devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever will I give it, if thou wilt worship me. All shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. He wasn't done yet. But for a season, all through Jesus' life, the devil tempted Jesus, trying to get him to do wrong, and he was tempted, yet without sin, the scripture says. I want to point something out to you here. Let's point something out to you here. You better know your Bible, because the devil is going to quote it. The devil knows the Bible. He was quoting Bible verses, completely selfishly, completely out of context, and trying to use it for his own purpose. So, brother and sister, you better know your Bible. And the way you will fight temptation is with the Bible. That's what Jesus did. That's how he fought him. Okay, here's some conclusions. Every Christian can overcome sin. Number one, know the rules. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "For we are not ignorant of his devices." The devil is doing the same thing over and over again. Number one, no temptation is final. Verses 1 through 3. Number two, temptation's tailor-made. He'd been fasting for 40 days. Turn the stone into bread. The devil knows what your weaknesses are. Number three, Satan plants doubt. You know, this is the way it is in my life. I know it is in yours too. I know it is. You and I think that our little one-time sin is acceptable to God, because it isn't murder. And I'm telling you, that's wrong. And the Word of God teaches otherwise. The devil will get you to doubt God. Nobody's exempt from sin, even the very Son of God. Exempt from temptation, even the very Son of God was tempted. 1 Peter chapter 3 or chapter 5 and verse 9 tells us that the brethren are tempted, and all we are tempted in all ways like our brethren. Take your Bibles and turn to James in chapter 1. James chapter 1. Making this as practical as I can. And verses 13 through 17. This is the fifth point underneath every Christian can overcome sin. Because this is what the devil does. And it's amazing what a man can convince himself of as being all right when he allows the flesh to run his life. God tempts no man. At no point in life is God going to try to trip you up. That doesn't happen. James in chapter 1 and verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, "I am tempted of God." For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Go back to David for a moment. He looked. He lusted. He should have just turned his head. He lusted. He lingered. And then he lost. The Bible tells us in verse 15 of James in chapter 1, when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Don't get caught up in lust, because when lust is done with you, you will have sinned. You've got to cut it short, short of lust. Okay, you may look, turn your head, go another place. David should have been at war. He wasn't where he was supposed to be. That would have been a very easy remedy to this temptation, but instead he looked, he lusted, he lingered, and then he lost. And there was destruction as a result of it. People died as a result of it. He lost so much. The consequences of sin are great. Nobody just sins a little bit and gets away with it. Please hear me. Everybody listen to me. Every student in whatever school you go to, whether it's a public school or Maplewood or whatever it is, the little sins are just as black with God as the big sins. There are different kinds of consequences. That's why there's degrees of punishment in hell, because there are some things that are worse than others, but the fact is it's all transgression. So as a child of God, we've got to don't take heed lest you fall. Don't think, well, I'll never fall into that, because every Christian sins. But every Christian can overcome the sin. Just know the rules. Now I want to tell you how to win. It's really simple. How to overcome the sin that's in your life. I've got it actually down to 5 points. I've preached it other places. I've preached it here before. There are 5 simple points. I want to help you. You might want to write these down. If you've got a pen with you, and write these right in the fly leaf of your Bible or the margin of your Bible. Somehow take some notes. Put it on the bulletin, the church bulletin from this morning. But if you write it down, you're more apt to remember it. This is very important. If the devil has a stronghold in your life, if there's an area in your life where you are on the road to ruin, according to James chapter 1 and verse 15, now is the time to cut it short. And the very first thing you need to do, these all start with ours, don't cave. Man, don't cave into that sin. Don't give in to that temptation. Man up, lady up, whatever you've got to do, and follow the scriptures. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, and God, who is faithful, will with the temptation also make a way to escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Number one, read your Bible. Psalm 119, verse 11. Write that down. Let me talk in the meantime. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Psalm 119, verse 11. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Remember how Jesus combated Satan with the word of God. Because Satan uses the word of God out of context, uses it for his own purpose. We're not careful. We do that as Christians sometimes. Use it for his own purpose, and Jesus is able to take the word of God in context and give him the truth. Read your Bible. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Number two, run from temptation. Read and run. If there's a stronghold in your life, this is so very practical. I know I'm preaching to some people this morning. Satan's got a stronghold in your life. You've got to conquer that stronghold. Quit just knuckling under. Study your Bible. Read your Bible. Run from temptation. Genesis 39, verses 9 through 13. Don't have time to read it. That's Joseph, Potiphar, trying to get Joseph to lie with her, to commit adultery. Joseph is a man of God. He is not going to have any part of it. He does different than David. He ran out of the palace. He ran. He beat shoe leather, and he got out of there. And there are areas in your life where perhaps the devil has a stronghold in your life, and you got to get to the place where when he comes knocking at your door, man, you just don't open the door. You get out of there. There's certain people you're tempted when you're around them that don't hang around those certain people. There's certain places you go, and that's then don't go to those certain places. Run from the temptation until you get strong in the Lord. Fortify yourself by reading the Bible. Run from temptation. Number three, rearrange your life. Change your life. Change your pattern, your patterns of life. Romans in chapter 13 and verse 14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the lust of the flesh. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. So in other words, there are certain times of the day or certain places you go, and those are the times you sin. You look back, we're not ignorant of his devices, talking about the devil. There's patterns in your life, and the devil is working those patterns. And there's certain times of the day or certain places, people you're with, or certain things you're watching on TV, then you've got to avoid those things. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's a command of Scripture. So rearrange your life. You know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, getting the same results, doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting something different sometime. That's insanity. Well, man, if I got a trouble with drink, there's certain people I know I shouldn't hang around. And I want to get better. I'm not going to do it anymore. And I go back to that same pothole, and there I am, and I'm in it again, and I feel bad about it afterwards. That's insane. For the child of God, that's insanity. Change something. Rearrange your life. Number four, replace. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, set your affection on things from above. Replace that which is bad with something that is good. That's pretty simple. Don't just stop listening to rock music. Start listening to good, Christ-honoring music. Don't just stop going over here to the casino. Start going to church. You're fine. Replace the bad with the good. And then number five, this is a biggie. Reach up to God in prayer. You get one victory, and then you think you can handle it from now on, and you leave God out. That's a mistake. Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews in chapter 4. Hebrews in chapter 4. Verse 15. Don't cave in to temptation. This is something that needs to be preached, taught, instruction needs to be given on repeatedly. I mean, it's over and over again. Because I'm going to be tempted today. You're going to be tempted today. We're going to be tempted tomorrow as well. We can't just grit our teeth and get some steel in our backbone and overcome these temptations. We need God. That's what David left out. He'd gotten complacent, and he started leaving God out of his life. Reach up to God in prayer. Look at verse 15 of Hebrews chapter 4. For we have not an high priest, that's Jesus, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, he was tempted like we're tempted. He knows what we're going through. He's already been there. And he was victorious. And because he's already been there, he understands. It says, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know how you get victory? Man, the one thing you've got to do, number one, over top of everything else, is the last thing I mentioned, reach up to God in prayer. You can't think, okay, I've got that licked now, I'm going to move on. Well, it's good to move on, but you don't got it licked because it's still inside you. You are not going to be saved from the presence of sin until you get home to heaven. You're saved from the penalty of sin. Praise God, not going to hell. Saved from the power of sin. I don't need to knuckle under, but I'm still facing sin. I'm not saved from the presence of sin, not till I get home to heaven. And that's been promised to me, and I'm going to get there. But in the meantime, I'm tempted as I go through life. There's mountains I've got to climb. There's problems I've got to handle. Pastor Rader's got as big a temper as anybody here in this building. I think bigger than anybody in this building. It's there. Sometimes I'm pretty short. Sometimes I hide it really well. It's like, man, I'm lazy too. I'm lazy. I work like mad to keep everybody from thinking I'm lazy. You know, I don't want them to find out that I'm lazy. So I'm going to work like mad and work long hours and do everything I can. But man, my flesh is my flesh. I have a chair in my living room. My body's just drawn to it every time I walk through the alley. It's time to sit out. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. This is good. And put my feet up. I'm just like you are. We're all made of the same stuff. Need to read your Bible. Need to run from temptation. Need to rearrange your life. Replace that which is evil with that which is righteous, that which is good. And then reach up to God in prayer. Don't be like David. Don't look. Don't do more. You know, the birds are going to fly over your head, but keep them out of your hair. Temptation's going to come your way, but man, look to God. Don't linger. Because if you linger, you're going to lust. If you lust, there's going to be great loss. I close this message by saying this. If there's a stronghold in your life, the devil's got a stronghold, tear it down. Don't keep going back to that watering hole. That well is poison. Man, don't keep going back there expecting to get a different result. Some of you got music in your home you should not have in your home. Get it out of there. Get it out of there. Man, just pre-program all the stations on your a radio in your TV, in your car to 89.9 or something. Maybe you can have ESPN. I got ESPN in there too. I got that. You know. So, but man, you don't need that other stuff. Man, don't be drinking out of wells that are poisoned. You'll keep having this problem, whatever the problem is in your life, when God wants you to have victory.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.